Good morning.
There we go.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. I spent the entire day sleeping last Wednesday, so definitely feeling a little bit better, and I'm hoping it's not coming back to attack me.
Well, let me tell you, it is springtime and a beautiful time to be here in Monroe County, so I want everybody to really enjoy it.
That's right.
We're so lucky to live here in this beautiful county.
We are, and there's plenty of stuff happening and goings-on that we've been talking about for weeks and months. Tim Mayer joined us yesterday morning. We were talking about how the city is going to have some issues with perhaps replacing and bonding and doing all this stuff to make sure that the stormwater and drainage and stuff works out. Obviously, the 3rd Street intersection there is closed. We found some problems with all of that, and it got us thinking and talking about, well, if the annexation takes place, Marty, how is the storm just help me out with all this, because when the city meets the county, it's not like when Harry met Sally. It's not a cute love story. sometimes it's a little bit different. So to translate for us what this is all going to mean moving forward.
Right. Well, the first thing we to let you know that we did get the information back from the people that we paid to
the consultant.
Get us some updated. Right. However, there are some things on there that some of us who've been working closely with the numbers, we feel like there still needs adjustments made. For one thing, they did not include, they went ahead and left in that Area 6, which we know now has been removed. So it may be that this will just be something that will be in progress all the time. However, when you look, and it's on the county's webpage, and it's on the very first page in the middle of the column, and you click on that, and you'll be able to get a lot of information for people who like looking at numbers. I happen to like doing that, but let me help bring it down so for people who don't want to look at it. Let's talk first about the problem the city's having right now, having to do with their stormwater infrastructure and how stormwater fees are paid. Stormwater fees are not paid make it clear. If you live in the city, you pay stormwater fees, and you pay that on your utility bills. If you live in Ellisville, the same thing. However, if you live out in the county, because we don't have a utility bill that we send out, we put it as a part of a fee that's billed through your tax bill. So, indeed, the city is not at present charging or not supposed to be charging the county residents a stormwater fee. That's all those dollars supposed to be separate. With the annexation, the city will be receiving about $450,000 of the money that the citizens have been paying for stormwater problems in the county. They'll now be paying into the city. Now, as I understood from the conversation yesterday, this infrastructure repair is not going to be a permanent, long-lasting repair. I heard them say it's supposed to last approximately 5 years. And so when they do the final repair, that should last a great deal longer than 5 years. Some of those things have been in there, you know, decades and decades. So what will happen, it seems to me, I'm just guessing here, but if they plan to do these major repairs for the city stormwater infrastructure, then they would wait. If they're going to put a debt in place to pay it back, they would, seems to me, wait until they have all of the new taxpayers fee payers coming in from out in the county who will then be a part of the city, who will then help pay that debt. One would think that they would have to borrow the dollars in order to do such a major repair as they're talking about, not just at that intersection, but throughout that area that still needs repairs. So indeed, we all pay stormwater fees, but some of it goes to the city, some of it to the county. Now, what will happen when the county loses that much money for our stormwater repairs? Then if we're not able to do those, then that, you know, water runs downhill. So everything that we cannot do to help the water going down toward Ellicottville just makes their problem even worse. And if the city doesn't take care of their problems, then their problems could roll right on over to the county, because that's the direction the water goes. So this is something, the infrastructure there, the stormwater infrastructure, it's clear, anybody can look at that, that has been really neglected over many decades, and so it's hard for the new people like Dick Kelson, who is now over the utilities. I mean, he was handed this problem. He didn't create the problem. So they will do with it the best they can and as money allows. One might say, why on earth was the city spending money in other ways other than taking care of the infrastructure? That's a good question. I don't have the answer to that.
Well, and that was going to be the next natural question, because is this one of those things that you just kick, I don't want to say kick the can down the street, but you knew after at some point that you didn't have enough money to finish this project, and then I'm not going to get into my thoughts and speculation on why, but it makes sense, because I think when you look down the road at it, you can start fixing some of these problems as long as you bring in more revenue into the city. And how do you do that? Well, sometimes it's by annexation.
Well, or sometimes rather than using that tax increment finance money to grow in pretty ways and ways that you really, your heart wants to do, rather than take care of your problems. You know, and that is a part of the decision-making process. For instance, in your own home, would you put in all new carpet and new flooring and everything when your roof is leaking? Most people, common sense, would say you take care of your roof, because the pretty things, your new carpet, your all the things you'd like to have on the interior, that really is not as important as the roof. Although, I understand, sometimes putting a new roof on doesn't make you feel all, you know, warm and cozy, but that's exactly the decisions that decision makers have to make. And
if you have people who are only looking in the short term in the next election, then that's the choices they make, though, Marty.
Those decisions, I would say, over the last, 20, 25 years, have not been made in a long-term best interest of the people of the city. So I understand that the revenue that they have there now, after they've put in the stormwater fee, it's not going to be sufficient to take care of the many, many years of neglect. And so it appears that if this annexation goes through, there will be people out there in the county who will be helping to make up for poor planning and poor spending, the way they have spent dollars in the city. There'll be a lot of people who didn't get to vote on that who will now help to pay for those problems. But I expect that's probably the way any annexation works. So
Marty, at the end of the day, when you look through what was given to you from these consultants, what did you come away with as far as what the losses are going to be for the county and potential issues down the road if the majority, I mean, we know that Section 6 is out of the annexation, but that was a very small amount of what's going on there.
Well, I will say that the other day when Andy Ruff was discussing this at the Ellicottville Chamber, and by the way, yes, I was there. I participated in the panel for some reason. The Herald Times did not choose to say, they said everybody else was there. I guess maybe had a blank spot, and they were looking at me. However, part of what he said was he believes there will be some changes made as we go along. However, with that Area 6 included with the numbers, because for whatever reason, our person left that Area 6 in there when he was looking at the numbers, the total decrease maximum he has in here, which does not include the debt because there will be losses when somebody has a big debt. The maximum decrease for the county is $4,400,000. But that's included a loss in revenue for one of the TIFs.
Okay.
And remember, even our riverboat gaming money that we get in every year, we're going to lose about $88,000 on that.
Oh, my.
I mean, you know, that may not sound like a lot of money, but
it adds up, Marty. It adds up.
Right. And then all of the taxing units receive some miscellaneous revenue to their financial institution tax or excise tax or commercial vehicle excise tax. And that doesn't mean there's more money coming into those pots. It just means that each the taxing unit gets a proportionate share of it depending upon how much their tax levy is. The tax levy is the amount of property taxes they are charging. And because the city's tax levy is going to go up so dramatically, all of the other taxing units will receive less of that miscellaneous revenue. So what I wanted to get down to was to tell you, if I can find it here, how much the loss will be to the library, because there was the feeling by the library they didn't think they would be losing much. But what we have down, I'm just telling you what's on the report, the decrease to that library would be about $271,000.
Oh, my.
And if you're looking to expand and do other things, that's not music to your ears.
Well, it's something that they absolutely need to look at and understand and use in their financial projections, because we love our library. We want to make sure that the two libraries they have here now are well taken care of and maintained. And it seems to me that before they branch out, shall I say, and build another branch, they had better make certain of their revenue. So that's what the library situation would be. So for instance, with the school, the Monroe County Community School, and I know that there were some, even on the board, didn't think it was going to be much of an impact. Well, the maximum decrease to the school, it appears, is going to be $265,900. Now, remember, that is on top of the loss they're having in the circuit breaker. Remember, I discussed that with you the other day,
right,
which is, I believe it was like 170. I didn't look that up again. I think it was 175,000.
It was in the neighborhood, yes.
So we're talking about a loss of revenue in what they would have normally expected of closer to $500,000.
Let me ask a silly question. When you talk about loss of revenue, where does this go? City coffers?
It goes to the city. It isn't like as if it's just gone. It goes to the city to spend rather than the other units to spend.
Gotcha. And the city won't go, hey, we know we're getting this money, so we'll just pass it on.
Yeah. And with one caveat here, not the circuit breaker, because the circuit breaker means that taxpayer, because of all of this increase in the tax levies, have created a situation where their tax rates are a great deal higher, and then they hit that amount that they don't have to pay, and nobody else has to pay it. So some of this is truly just a loss to the taxing units.
Interesting. Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in with us every Wednesday morning. And when you talk about this is the report's numbers, when are we ever going to know what these are going to bear out to be, just when we go through it and have to live with it day to day?
Well, that may very well be the case, but when we're looking at numbers and it's not the debt tax rate is not included, it appears to me that's, I couldn't see that it was, then that's going to raise everybody else's taxes because somebody has to pay that debt back. If it's a property tax debt, then that the circuit breaker numbers will change. But then if the city decides not to take in Area 7, or perhaps they'll scale back some of the rest of this, then there will not be nearly the loss of the circuit breaker that is included here.
Boy, this gets really, really complicated, Marty. And thank you for trying to explain it to us. I think that this is going to be really challenging, you know, going forward.
And that's the reason why I am very concerned about the Solid Waste District. If you noticed last week that they are saying they want to have paying $84,000 for somebody to analyze the feasibility of doing a mixed waste.
Marty, is there any way to stop that? Because, I mean, if you're sitting in my seat, I think if we look back over the last 10 years, if we look at how many times the Solid Waste District has asked for some sort of, version of this, I mean, they've had to have spent well over $150,000 on this prior to now.
Well, and they're talking about this mixed waste. They're talking about what is normally called a dirty MRF rather than a clean MRF.
Right.
And so it seemed to me they were talking about, well, if they had the city and IU and maybe some of the surrounding counties, where the material would come from. Well, then that brings us right down to, do we really want to be a county that is bringing in all the trash from all the surrounding counties and have one great big recycling facility? Most of those would have to have some kind of a tax backup. So if it costs us more to do this than the dollars you're going to make, does that mean we would be subsidizing everything else? It seems to me you could pick up the phone and say, hello, Indiana University, hello, City of Bloomington, do you want to be a part of this? Now, in the past, they would not commit to being a part of it.
Right.
But it does make you just a bit curious now if maybe the city is looking at, well, let's bring in tax dollars from throughout this county and put toward recycling, and they might be able to save a little bit of money considering all of the additional properties they're putting in place that they'll be having to get the trash from. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little too suspicious. But
you're allowed to be.
I'm allowed to be.
Marty, I would love to have someone go back and just check and see how many times the Solid Waste District has asked for consultants and how much money they've spent. Because it seems to me that every time we turn around, they're asking for this kind of money and having somebody research it. And I'm sorry, every couple of years, I mean, the money they have spent on this, how about the money they've spent on the building that's sitting on the ground? How about the money that they have spent, you know, doing all kinds of things that have come to naught? I mean,
but here we go again with the convention center. We've sent out wanting people to give us an update on what they would be willing to do with the convention center, but they don't know where the convention center is going to be. Are they going to leave it downtown? Or are they going to move it out of downtown?
Or are they going to give it to the city?
Well, but I mean, that's a part of the whole situation, is whether or not they want to leave it downtown or move it out closer to the highway. That's all a part of someone's plan, because that was part of what was being presented. And remember that if they are counting on a food and beverage tax to do that, the food and beverage tax loss from the county was like 40% because the city is going to annex out there where all those restaurants are. So I don't know. Do you really think that the county's going to put in place this food and beverage tax to hand over to the city? I don't know. Maybe they will. But these are all things that will come together, and at some point in time, you just have to say, look, what is really the best thing for all of us? And I am concerned about what's going to happen to job creation. That's part of what I wanted to talk about at the Ellisville Chamber, is how is this going to affect your ability to be able to create jobs and grow the economy here? And that, to me, is how much money can you take out of the private sector and turn over to the public sector and still be a healthy community?
Marty, one last thing, and I promise I'll end this. I just want people to think about this. Are we at the point where we should be talking about a county, city, you know, maybe it's time for Monroe County and the city of Bloomington to become, you know, like the city of Indianapolis. And
oh, that's frightening. I'm not
disagreeing, but I'm just wondering how we make all of this work if we're not working together, because it doesn't seem like the city is willing to work together with the county. It seems like they just want to take over everything, and they don't care about what happens to the county resources.
Well, if you follow that logic, then it appears to me that if that indeed is happening, they're hoping that those of us out in the county who like our lifestyle, who like it this way, the way it is, the reason why we want to live out in the county and not in the city, that we'll just give up, throw our hands up and say, oh, come and get us. We give up. And then this is not going to be the county where we want to live. I mean, take a look at what happened in Indianapolis. The people in the hinterlands had no voice whatsoever. Because you had to be in the inner city to have any voice. Well, just as it is right now, the city's just going to do what they're going to do. Unless the state can put something, unless our state legislators can fix this before it's too late.
Well, how are they going to do that? They got about 2 days to get it done.
Well, because if they add something in, one of
last
these
minute
bills that's in conference, and they can do that, that says that all these waivers that the city's been setting on for 20, 25 years, however long it's been, that those things were not recorded within so many days after having been signed, that they would not be valid. That means that everybody who is being said that they can't remonstrate, those people would be able to remonstrate.
Interesting.
And be able to come together and say, we don't want this. And so let's hope that will happen, because otherwise the city will take a great deal, and then those of us who live in the hinterlands will not have a voice in what they're doing and what they're taking. But I sure don't want to be a part of an overall city-county operation, because it will be just what the city wants. It will not be what anybody in the county wants.
What's the county council right now, Republicans or Democrats?
One Republican, six Democrats, but you know what?
What's the city council right now, Republicans or Democrats?
It's all Democrats.
Okay, I'm just pointing out some facts.
At one point in time, if people feel like that they've got somebody shoving something right down their throat, there's going to be a whole lot of people say, I want a change.
You would think so, Marty. You would think so.
And there's going to be some people that are going to have to answer for if this all does go through. Well, it's going to be pretty clear on who's made it happen. It's not hard.
Right.
It's not hard to figure out.
It's a city council's vote. It is not the mayor's vote. Now, the mayor put it out there first. I'll have to struggle through that for sure.
We'll keep an eye on this moving forward. Marty, we got to run this morning. We appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk next Wednesday.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk.